Hello there, you Awakening Wonders on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcasts. We really appreciate you, our listeners, and want to bring you more content. We will be delivering a podcast every day, 7 days a week. Every single day, you'll get a detailed breakdown of current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. But if they are covering, they're amplifying establishment messages and not telling you the truth. Once a week, we bring you in-depth conversations with guests like Jordan Peterson, RFK Jr., Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate, and many more. Now enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Remember, there's an episode every single day to educate and elevate our consciousness together. Stay free and enjoy the episode.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hey, you Awakening Wonders, thanks for joining me today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. As the revolution continues to gain pace, the establishment falls apart. The panic is everywhere. They recognize they've lost control of the narrative, and here we unite in these spaces of pure freedom. For about the first 15 minutes, we will be available on YouTube. But then we become the psychological and spiritual property of people like Canadian Beaver Fever and Grammy Yannon and Digital Noppy. These, the inhabitants and glorious denizens of the Rumble Stream. Not to mention our awakened wonders over on Locals, with whom we share meditations and fantastic pieces of content. Can you believe we're even discussing the difference between immigration, refugee crisis, migration, and displacement theory? Is it a real thing or is it a conspiracy of the right? If you want to see our exclusive video on that, become an awakened wonder. If you want to join us for conversations with real journalists and pivotal figures like Mike Benz, the conversation with Mike Benz, and we're going to show you an exclusive clip of that. Join us. Join us on the voyage of a lifetime. Excuse me while I kiss the sky, because this could be a pivotal moment for all of us. Elon Musk and Donald Trump have met. These two great provocateurs, these two wrecking balls in the establishment narrative, have come together. What will it mean? And in our item, here's the news. We're looking at nuclear Russian roulette. I mean, isn't Russian roulette dangerous enough without adding a nuclear component? What do you think, buddy? What do you think, G Young 47? What do you think, Kyle Rhino? We want your views. Of course, later we'll give you the opportunity to win a mug. Let's get us one so I can show you what that mug looks like, because it has to be seen to be believed. We've got a fantastic question. That's what the that's some of the available merchandise. And guys, we've got a story about AstraZeneca. They were at the very forefront of, I don't want to call it the vaccine racket. I don't want to call it that. That's dismissive. They were at the vanguard of, let's call it vaccine mania. Do you remember vaccine mania? It was like the Beatles, wasn't it? A couple of years ago, people got extremely carried away about vaccines. Well, AstraZeneca were one of the first. They were public funded. 97% of their research was met by either charities or by taxpayer funding. But when that $4 billion profit came in, guess where it ended up? Yeah, corporate hands. We'll be with you for the first 15 minutes. Then we'll only be available on a Rumble with the likes of Thick and Thick. Okay, let's have a look at Marjorie Taylor Greene right now. She's got a direct and interesting message for the BBC. Check the stream deck, guys. Let's have a look.
What about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you fuck off? How about that?
Thanks. Thank you very much.
There you go. That's the spirit. Marjorie Taylor Greene there, communicating very succinctly with the BBC. So, although that's Emily Maitie, she may not have been working for the BBC in that moment. Now, if you're looking at detaining a suspect, control... Yeah, I know, Paul Schroeder, Jewish space lasers. What does that mean exactly? That's something that needs investigating. I'm assuming that's a conspiracy. I'm assuming that if there are space lasers, they don't have a racial, ideological, theological component. I mean, what would be the point of a sort of a Christian, a Muslim, a Caucasian? Any kind of space laser, I think, has sort of gone beyond the sort of the Abrahamic prohibitions. Look at this lad who simply refuses to be detained in the most literal way. It's like he's spotted a glitch in the Matrix in an extraordinary way. You'll love this. He's in detention. Did he say, give me a minute? Who said, give me a minute? Was that him or was that the detaining officer? It's not going back 2 seconds, I note, though. Is that not working?
Hello?
had to do was simply jump out of a window. And there he goes, just making good with his legs.
Oh, no. F***ing way.
It's happened again. We left a window open. Some people are concerned about Google Gemini, aren't they? They're wondering whether or not AI can be trusted or whether it's a vessel for particular ideologies, and certainly not an ideology that's capable of bringing us all together and helping us to transcend to planes of consciousness where we might find solutions. Would you agree, Daily Inc. in the Awakened Wonder chat? If you ask, for example, Gemini, Google Gemini, whether or not the CIA plotted to murder Julian Assange, it has an interesting response. We got this from Stella Assange from her X feed, although she did send it personally in, but we haven't heard whether or not Julian Assange's right to appeal against his extradition will be granted yet. And of course, as soon as we hear whether or not it will be granted, we'll let you know, even if it means interrupting the State of the Union address. Which is that a propaganda opportunity, or is it a significant occasion in the American calendar? Let's have a look at what Stella Assange posted and what Gemini, Google Gemini, or whatever you call it, the AI device, offered in terms of a response. Describe the CIA plot against Julian Assange. I can't find any evidence of a CIA plot against Julian Assange. Didn't the CIA sort of explicitly themselves admit it? What's really beautiful as well, look at this, right? Yesterday we told you about that man who had, I think, 217 vaccines for what he described as being private reasons. Now, of course, on this, do you know what? On our channel, we don't mind what medications people take. It doesn't matter. Do what you think is best for you. Of course, that's obvious. But some of you will have noticed that there appear to be peculiar anomalies when searching, for example, subjects like excess deaths. Like during the pandemic, you couldn't search for natural immunity or vitamin D or ivermectin. Well, this story is being pretty well covered. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, we're not going to be able to stay with you for much longer than another 10 minutes or so, because we're going to get even deeper into this stuff. This is what happens if you search COVID vaccine on Google. Have a look at this. There you go. You just put COVID. Look at some of the other things we put. COVID vaccine. Get that in there. Look what comes up. Patient vaccinated 217 times. Vaccine 270 times. New York Times. CNN. Man got these shots. CBS News. Man got 207 shots. No. This is because it's a story about someone experiencing no side effects after taking 217 shots. It seems like they want that to be a heavily promoted story. This is how The Atlantic covered that story. And you know, this is what would be called, too much on the nose, I would say, even for propaganda. Look, Pfizer couldn't pay for marketing this good. Yeah, no, they couldn't. They couldn't afford to anymore. Their stock prices are plummeting. Well, now we know what happens when someone gets 217 COVID shots. Or do we know, though, if 217 people, are we saying that the data around COVID shots and its relationship to adverse events is entirely transparent? Let me know in the chat what you think about that. Have you seen our question about how you can win a mug today? It's connected to the question of censorship. I don't know what button that's on, guys. Could you just punch it up now if you can? We asked you which country has arrested most people for social media posts. Is it Russia? That dictatorship, that extraordinary territory of corruption and war? Is it Mauritius, lovely holiday destination? Or is it the United Kingdom? Many of you correctly answered United Kingdom. If you get that answer right in the stream, and actually I'm not revealing it, I mean, I suppose I am giving away somewhat what the correct answer is. If you answer correctly in the stream, once we're off YouTube, you can have one of these glorious, glorious mugs completely for free. Let's post that question in the chat again, along with a link to all of our glorious merchandise. Now, on the subject of propaganda, you know Joe from Morning Joe, he is quite closely affiliated with Joe, Afternoon Joe, Evening of His Life Joe, potentially a man at the nadir of his very existence, Joe Biden, President of the United States. This is an extraordinary piece of news, or propaganda, I suppose, masquerading as news on the eve of the State of the Union address. Well, I'm going to stop this every time something troubles me about it. Later, we're going to be talking about Elon and Trump's meeting. We're going to talk a little more about this AstraZeneca story, which you're going to love. And remember, we're talking about nuclear Russian roulette as well. We've got some fantastic stuff coming up, but let's see just how many times this seems propagandist and unreliable. Check it out.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was
cogent. Yeah, because cogent just means kind of what? Capable, together. And isn't the President of the United States a position that demands excellence? Isn't this the very essence of an exemplary individual? The living embodiment of a nation? The replacement of the tyrannical monarchy that preceded the establishment of your republic? So cogent is a low threshold. Of course, Joe is quick to adapt here as he slaloms effortlessly through propaganda early one morning on MSNBC. You can see Nikki Haley there in their lower third strap, glistening and gleaming as one of the preferred candidates of the Republican Party. Even though she's dropped out, she looms large in the minds of the MSNBC intelligentsia.
Cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually.
As well, because that's, you're comparing Joe Biden to other versions of himself. Like, this is the, he's not an athlete, this is the, but he's in rare form, he's doing fantastically well, he's astonishing, he's magnificent.
Analytically, because he's been around for 50 years, and you know, I don't know if people know this or not, Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning.
It's a bit like with Anthony Fauci, like they try to make him a sort of a bit of a sort of a geriatric hunk, you know, like sort of like an octogenarian sex lord. He's a bit of a hothead. That Irishness comes out of him once in a while. It's both sort of normalizing and glamorizing while simultaneously distracting us from the evidence of our own eyes. And I do wonder, I'd like to go on there again, really, and say, like, why do you not demand more accountability of your own party? Why won't you join us in demanding that all of these systems decentralized, that all of these institutions be, if not radically reformed, disbanded altogether, so the maximum amount of democracy and referenda are available to each community, and that we regard above all else the sovereignty, the sacred sovereignty of the individual, the right for self-determination for every individual, for every community. Let us put aside these bizarre cultural wars. Let us stop pretending that the solution to the problems of the world and America lay in the fragile hands of this elderly man.
Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth.
What were you doing up till now? Isn't the whole thing supposed to be true, isn't it? The whole thing's meant to be true. What, you've showed your hand there, Joe.
And F you, if you can't handle
it. Yeah, F you. F you in your eye pipe.
The truth.
If you can't handle the truth. This is the truth as well. It's not like groundbreaking. It's not like saying something like, actually, at the most fundamental level of reality, Newtonian physics falls apart and you are lost in a quantum poem. It's not like that. It's not like saying, like, what do you even mean? Or we can't ever truly know reality within the limitations of the senses. It's not that. It's just more of what he's basically saying, propaganda about how great Joe Biden is. Look.
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
We debated whether or not to put together a compilation of Joe Biden fumbling his words and fudging and wandering off and sort of standing mid-step, staring into the middle distance, or whether or not to show you him prevaricating over the business activities of his son. And we decided not to insult you because we know that you've got a memory, that you know this, that you know that what he's saying there is untrue. Also, we were pushed for editorial time. We couldn't put together that compilation because we've got so many stories to bring you over the course of the next hour. We're going to be talking about Elon and Trump and the significance of their meeting. We're going to be talking about Liz Cheney and her peculiar role within the Republican Party, as well as telling you why it is vital that we stop provoking Russia into a nuclear war, which I can't believe really needs to be said, but it seems to be necessary.
Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth.
It's part of the problem is how many years he's been around to be. He's poor old sod's decrepit.
I wouldn't say it. And you.
There you go. Extraordinary. It seems, though, that whatever it is that appears to be affecting the neurological capabilities of Joe Biden, it's affecting some of the people in his social media team as well. I don't know if you lot saw this post on X. Look, tune in at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening for my plan, State of the Union 2023, February 7th. Other than not knowing what month it is and what year it is, and what it's supposed to mean to live independently and free from tyranny, that's a pretty accurate piece of propaganda. One wonders if, in the same way that we have previously argued that Joe Biden unconsciously is the symbol for what's happening, entropy, decay, decline, systems falling apart, it's become a contagion, it's become a kind of a symbolic truth that is somehow unavoidable. Digit No Hippie says, chemical lobotomy in the food supply, everybody's brain need mending, mushrooms for neurogenesis. You think we need mushrooms? You think mushrooms might be the solution? I'd like to hear a product that could elevate our consciousness. If I hear one, you gotta know, I'll tell you all about it. Now, is Liz Cheney the solution? We don't mute your GMFB. You can say what you like in the stream. Go crazy in there. Express yourself. But what I will tell you is, when you convey hate, you play into their hands. They want you in there conveying hate. What we should be doing is loving one another, saying, I don't care where you're from or who you are. We are going to unite against this establishment that wants us dumb. Because within that establishment, there is room for affinity and affiliation. When someone my age says the word Cheney, an image comes to mind. The logo of Halliburton, an annihilated desert. Saddam Hussein with the bag on his head being, well, I mean, sort of hung, really, is what's happened. Maybe I'll see a little bit of a snarling older man. Maybe the names Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Bush will come to mind. Now the name Cheney, like a link in its embryonic chain, is connecting to a new lady. And she is might be anti-Trump. She's another one of the Democrats' picks, I say, for the leadership of the Republican Party movement. It's a kind of a berserker candidate. I'm not suggesting that there is any actual candidacy. I'm talking merely on the symbolic level. Let's have a look at Liz Cheney now and her current concerns about Donald Trump. And let me ask you whether or not you share them. You know me. I believe in decentralized, unified challenges to the establishment. I understand why many of you feel so passionately about Donald Trump, because of his anti-establishment sentiment and because of the evident attempts by the establishment to shut him down and control him and to amplify him to demonic proportions in order to legitimize their own lame, hobbled, phony candidate. Let's have a little look at Liz Cheney and this story. She's not a fan of your man Trump, I'll tell you.
A name more famous for decades and decades than Nikki Haley in Republican circles came out swinging directly at the presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump early this morning. In a post, Liz Cheney saying this, quote, the GOP has chosen. They will nominate a man who attempted to overturn an election and seize power. We have 8 months to save our republic.
We.
And ensure that Donald Trump is never anywhere near the Oval Office again. And then Liz Cheney sent people to this video originally released in May. Watch.
Donald Trump.
This is an interesting reframing of January 6th. And I suppose there are images within this that make January 6th's complexity evident. However, of course, with that amount of footage, you could tell many, many stories. I've not yet seen significant evidence that it was indeed, as we were frequently told, an insurrection.
Is the only president in American history who has refused to guarantee the peaceful transfer of power.
Joe Biden.
He lost the election and he knew it.
To become the president.
He betrayed millions of Americans by telling them the election was stolen.
Stop.
Is how you see that story?
He ignored the rulings of dozens of courts. Rather than accept his defeat, he mobilized a mob to come to Washington and march on the Capitol. Then he watched on television while the mob attacked law enforcement, invaded the Capitol, and...
I suppose it doesn't include the huge number of FBI agents in the crowd or some of the peculiar activity that went on with the Capitol Police that day.
...hunted the vice president. He refused for 3 hours to tell the mob to leave. There has never been a greater dereliction of duty by any president. Trump was warned repeatedly that...
Like Liz Cheney is behind this.
His plans for January 6th were illegal. He didn't care. And today, he celebrates those who attacked our Capitol. Donald Trump has proven he is unfit for office. Donald Trump is a risk America can never take again.
The Great Task is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Thank you very much. Very good.
Now, this is particularly notable heading into another election after the political harm that Liz Cheney and Chairman Benny Thompson and the entire January 6th Select Committee inflicted politically on the Republican brand ahead of the 2022 midterms. And let us just say, this could be interesting. Someone whose last name is synonymous with the highest echelons of executive power on the right, impeaching the very fitness of a member of her own party.
What isn't it? Because there was a time where the name Cheney in the circles of the Democrat Party and MSNBC would be regarded as absolute villainy and the epitome of the military industrial complex. But now, plainly, those powers have migrated across the aisle. Plainly now, the party of war, at least of, well, the Ukraine war, current Middle Eastern campaigns, are backed by this very establishment. It's astonishing to see how things change. It's astonishing to see the various planes of power. That's why I think it's so vital to ensure that we listen to voices that understand the way that the media and the deep state truly operate. You may have seen Mike Benz when he was on Tucker Carlson. You may have seen how he explained how the deep state operate globally, using as their proxies various agencies to crush dissent. We were privileged to have Mike Benz on our show. Our Awakened Wonder community on Locals joined us. They put some questions to Mike. Mike understands what's really happening beyond the dog and pony show, the fireworks and facade of contemporary political theatre. There is real power. Power has not gone anywhere. There are people making global maneuvers that benefit them when it comes to war, when it comes to pandemic, and when it comes to reporting. Here's a small piece of our conversation with Mike Benz. It will be available on Rumble in full tomorrow. This is just a very, very short clip that I want you to see. Have a look at it.
Right. I mean, what it shows is a favoritism on the part of the intelligence community to partner with media conduits who will serve as amplifiers for the priorities of the blob. And, you know, the Assange example is right on. You know, if the New York Times had published this without the approval and without the glowing positive reviews of the CIA wanting them to do it, that's the difference between a Pulitzer Prize story and 100 years in prison.
Okay, so, hey, we're going to leave YouTube now, guys. I hope you've seen enough to know that it's pretty magnificent what we're doing over here. Did you enjoy it? Are you enjoying it? Is the ad before it? Okay, can you pull that up then, guys, on the teleprompter? Let me do that now. Thank you. But in a minute, we're going to do our story on Russian nuclear roulette. What a game to play. So if you're watching us on YouTube, get your finger ready, because we're going to need you to click on that link and join us. But before that, let me tell you about the Wellness Company. Are you all aware of white lung syndrome? 90% of pharmaceuticals are produced outside of your country, the United States of America. When the next global crisis strikes, whatever form it takes, it's likely that drugs will be stockpiled and you'll be faced with empty shelves. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is a tool that you need for such times. The Wellness Company is home to Dr. Peter McCulloch, who was fantastic during the pandemic period, and Dr. Drew Pinsky. Both of them have been guests on the show. Both of them advocate for true health and autonomy. 40% of you Americans say you wouldn't even go to a hospital unless it was a catastrophic situation. Well, this emergency kit provides a solution. You've got 8 potentially life-saving medications in there: antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics that could help you with conditions like the terrifying white lung or indeed COVID. If you want one of these emergency kits, I think it's only available to you guys in America. Go to twc.health/brand. Get yourself one. That's twchealth.com/brand. Use the code brand. You get 10% off of that. Plus, they'll know that our content is generating commerce, which will be good for our business. Don't wait till it's too late. Take control of your health. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit allows you to do just that. Now, start that countdown once again. We're going to leave YouTube right now, but we got so much stuff to talk about. Elon and Trump's relationship. What does it mean for America? What does it mean about the way that the cultural divide is shifting and altering? What the hell's going on the New York City subway these days? Armed guards? What's going on? We got Van Jones escalating the threat of Trump, of course, but most importantly, nuclear Russian roulette. You're not going to want to miss this. Click the link in the description. Join us on that stream of sweet, sweet freedom. Now, if you're with us, I'd love to tell you that this is some good news, but it's a pretty terrifying story. We're going to be going into AstraZeneca a little later, but first, I want to bring you this now. This is, what I think, a pretty important video that we've made for you. It's clear now that people are prepared to play Russian roulette with our lives. It's evident now that there are British troops inside Ukraine, as well as plans to attack Crimea that could involve British troops. NATO countries and the legacy media are playing down Putin's warning of Russian retaliation. I don't know why you wouldn't take Putin seriously when he says that he's willing to engage in nuclear retaliation. So why are the West engaging in barroom brawl tactics when the potential consequences for us all could be a literal apocalypse? Here's the news. No, here's the effing news. Stay with us for Elon and Trump and so much more. See you in a second.
No, here's the fucking news.
Leaked intelligence reveals that there are already British troops in Ukraine fighting against Russia, with Putin saying that he is willing to retaliate even up to the point of using nuclear weapons. Why are the West continuing to provoke Russia in an outrageous game of nuclear Russian roulette? I mean, Russian roulette's bad when it's just one person and a gun, isn't it? Like, not everyone and missiles. We've heard again and again that Russia's attack on Ukraine was unprovoked.
Russia's unprovoked.
Unprovoked. Unprovoked attack.
Unprovoked.
Unprovoked aggression.
But we've recently heard that there are CIA bases in Ukraine and have been for the last 10 years, and they've been engaging in espionage and sabotage over there. Now we know, because of leaked intelligence, that Britain have got troops in Ukraine. That means our army that we're paying for, if you're a British person like me, are in Ukraine engaging in military activity against Russia. That is sort of a war, isn't it? Isn't it? At what point does this not become, you know, support Ukraine in terms of morale and taking in refugees and supporting them against that tyrant that is Putin? So, what is this game of Russian roulette about, with Macron saying that it's possible that France will commit troops, with the USA saying they would never commit troops, but billions of dollars of aid sort of seemingly every month being committed to this when it's a very unpopular war, as most of the current wars are with the American public, and now Brits actually having troops, as they say, booties on the ground in Ukraine.
What is with all these boots on the ground?
Are we not being mindful enough about what this could actually lead to? And are you, as a member of the public, a citizen of Earth, committed to the idea that you want to get involved in a nuclear conflict with Vladimir Putin's Russia? Let's have a look at the legacy media reporting on it, Putin's clear indications that he would engage in it, and study the important fact that for a while, about 2 years ago, when this conflict was starting, Joe Biden explicitly and expressly said, we would not involve NATO in direct conflict with Russia. Why? That would be World War III, for Christ's sake. I think that's a literal verbatim quote. It's certainly close to it.
We will not fight a war against Russia in Ukraine. Direct confrontation between NATO and Russia is World War III.
So what's changed? Why are they now saying that Putin's bluffing? Let's get into it.
Vladimir Putin has warned NATO countries they risk nuclear war if they send troops to Ukraine.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't mean it? God, then we'd look really stupid if we retreated and he didn't mean nuclear war. Yeah, but what if he does mean it and we don't retreat and then there is a nuclear war? This is not a low consequence, low stakes gamble. This is not a low risk situation. This is, we're gambling with the future of our planet. Seems like literally the highest consequence risk that there could be.
Putin told Russians in his speech that he would be stationing more soldiers in Russia's west, close to new NATO members, Finland and Sweden. Now, Putin's nuclear warning comes after France's president refused to rule out the possibility of Western nations sending troops to Ukraine.
That's a definite change in position, isn't it? Because at the beginning of this conflict, well, there's no way NATO countries would send troops. That would mean World War III, for Christ's sake. Now, Macron, the mad globalist haircut, is refusing to work. We might do. We may do. Don't provoke bloody Vladimir Putin, who has a nuclear arsenal, who's explicitly warned you that he will engage in nuclear war, just on the vague hope that, oh, well, what if he doesn't mean it? That doesn't seem reassuring, does it? Does it?
There is no consensus right now about sending in ground troops.
Perhaps you should seek a consensus. Perhaps you should ask the French public, who are continually ignored when they protest on the streets, or the farmers that are continually protesting. How dare they even purport to speak for their nations anymore when there's this evident detachment from the leadership and managerial classes and the populations of those countries? And for good reason, because they're saying rather glib, cavalier things like, hey, yeah, maybe we will have a nuclear war with Russia, when most people don't want a nuclear war with Russia.
Sending in ground troops in an official, endorsed and sanctioned manner.
The words, there is no plan to have boots on the ground in an endorsed and official capacity, is a tacit acknowledgement that there could be boots on the ground in an unendorsed capacity, like our nation. No one's asked the British people, do you want to get in a war with Russia? Because if you did, guess what they'd say? No thanks. I'd rather actually that all that money that's been spent was used to sort our health service and our infrastructure and our way of life, rather than annihilating Ukraine and Russia, making food prices shoot up and energy prices shoot up. That's what happened. No one's asking. No one cares. The current engagement in this ongoing act of provocation is without the sanctioning or consent of the nations involved in it. That's the truth. The New York Times revealed, as part of obviously some sort of sanctioned deal with the government, we've got our bases there for the last 10 years in order to continue to facilitate funding. It's been revealed, or it seems obvious. But you and me don't want a war with Russia. They seem to not care. Nothing's ruled out, the exact words of Macron. So who's this war for?
But in reality, nothing should be ruled out.
In reality, some things should be ruled out. I'd like to rule out nuclear war. That statement from Donald Trump would be like, what the hell, wouldn't it? That's how that would be reported by the rationalist, materialist, global legacy media. But from Macron, it's like, well, of course, nothing is ruled out. Oh, what a lovely accent.
We will do whatever it takes to ensure that Russia cannot win this war.
Here's some of what Putin said.
Nobody is allowed to interfere in our domestic affairs.
Don't think you can undermine Vladimir Putin and this nuclear threat by using a comedically poor translator.
You're really getting on my nerves now with these booties on the ground. You're going to be in a lot of trouble, I'll tell you that. If NATO keep mucking me about, there's going to be a lot of bother.
There's no need to be sarcastic.
They should eventually understand that we also have weapons, and they know it. I just said it now myself. Weapons that can hit targets on their territory. Everything that the West is coming up with now, what they threaten the world with, it can result in a conflict with the use of nuclear weapons, and therefore the destruction of civilization.
Small price to pay for acting hard in an international conflict. Annihilation of the planet.
Ooh, you're hard, showing off.
German Air Force officers have been caught spruiking on, or speaking, I should say.
Okay, I don't feel as confident listening to you anymore because you've just said spruiking instead of speaking. This is, of course, the information that there are indeed British troops inside Ukraine has been leaked because of the interception of some German intelligence that's revealed the Brits already have troops inside Ukraine. So add that to the 2014 coup, the CIA bases and agents in Ukraine for the last 10 years. You can now add that the Brits have got soldiers, military, inside Ukraine right now. So the word unprovoked is becoming less and less useful and less accurate. And the words nuclear Armageddon are becoming more and more relevant.
On an encrypted call about UK military activities in Ukraine, officials in Moscow are demanding an explanation.
I say don't give them one. Fuck them. Listen, mate, it's a nuclear Armageddon. I don't know if we're spreking the same language.
In Ukraine, there are a few constants. The war dragging on.
Weird, isn't it? Like the war dragging on, like it's an independent thing, like it's a weather condition. We are funding that war. Vladimir Putin's telling you what the conditions are for a ceasefire in that interview with Tucker that everyone tried to turn into like the world's worst bloody thing. And we're continually claiming that this is sort of a one-sided battle in so much as it's an unprovoked aggressor engaging in unwarranted military activity. What we know now is there was a peace deal on the table, and due to Boris Johnson's intervention, that was all scuppered. We knew that prior to the Putin interview.
President Putin
Putin sent a draft treaty that he wanted NATO to sign to promise no more NATO enlargement. That was a precondition for not invade Ukraine. Of course, we didn't sign that. The opposite happened.
Now we really, really know it. So it's not like it's just going, oh, there's nothing you can do. It's like the seasons. It's one of those things, death and taxes and an inevitable ongoing war that keeps being funded by you. So don't pretend that it's like a natural phenomena. It's a constructed event.
And Western nations debating just how deeply they should get involved.
As well, even the idea that it's intervention that we're discussing, we've already intervened. It wouldn't be happening if we weren't funding it, hadn't scuppered the peace deal, didn't have bases inside of Ukraine, hadn't engaged in delegitimizing the elected government in 2014 and replacing them in a CIA-sponsored coup. How deeply should we get involved? Stop being involved!
That's why senior figures from the German military were talking last month, a conversation recorded, now broadcast, by Russia. Among the claims made, that Britain has troops deployed in Ukraine to help set up missiles with so-called reach-back intelligence.
In terms of mission planning, I know how the British do it. They do it with reach-back. They also have a few people on the ground.
And also claims of fresh plans for an attack on this, the Kerch Bridge, that links Russia with Crimea. It's been targeted twice already, but has survived each time.
We've looked at the bridge extensively. Unfortunately, because of its size, it's like an airfield. It's possible that you'd need 10 or 20 missiles for it.
And now for some deeper analysis from those capitalist right-wing pigs at the World Socialist Organization. Confronted with the deterioration of Ukraine's military position and significant advances by Russian forces, the NATO powers are publicly threatening a massive escalation of the war involving the direct deployment of NATO combat troops on Ukrainian territory and attacks on Russian infrastructure and cities, which seems to be already happening, actually. Last week, members of the governments of four NATO member countries, France, Canada, the Netherlands and Lithuania, stated that they were considering sending combat troops to fight Russia in Ukraine. Then, on Friday, Russian media outlets published a leaked discussion among German military leaders discussing the use of German long-range weapons to strike Crimea. In the midst of these developments, the UK government admitted to having deployed a small number of troops to Ukraine. Oh, barely any. Barely anything at all. We only blew up a little bridge. Everyone will fuss about it. It was just a tiny nuclear missile. Oh, we're all just dying of radiation burns. What are all fusses about? The reckless escalation of the war is being carried out without any public explanation of what NATO is planning, let alone a frank acknowledgement of the potentially catastrophic consequences of the deployment of forces in Ukraine and attacks on Russia. Notice how consistent the theme of concealed or withheld information is, or the ability to judge as misinformation or malinformation true data that is inconsistent. Convenient. Note the assumption that you aren't consulted on how your country is run, even when it comes to events that could lead to a nuclear apocalypse. It's seen as something that's, you wouldn't understand this, you'd make terrible decisions. Well, what about your decisions to escalate a conflict which just a couple of years ago you said you would not escalate because that would be World War III? What has significantly changed? Why are we not being informed? Why are we funding this? Does this seem to you like the kind of relationship you want with the powerful? And meaningfully, how different is it from the kind of various other forms of regulation and rule that we're said to have left behind? Feudalism, rule by monarchy, rule by colonialism. If when it comes to matters that could lead to a nuclear apocalypse, you're not consulted, you don't get to vote. But notice in your country, are either of the sides saying, we're not going to have a war with Russia, we're going to insist there's a diplomatic solution? Because there's a lot of elections in 2024. You'd think one of the subjects worth discussing might be whether or not we want a nuclear war. I don't know. I recognise there are a lot of cultural issues, a lot of economic issues, a lot of energy issues, a lot of things to discuss. But ranking them, I would say nuclear Armageddon was more important than that, universal Armageddon. Dismissing the explicit warning made by Putin during the past week that direct intervention by NATO forces into Ukraine could lead to the use of nuclear weapons, NATO leaders and the media are laughing off the danger with claims that the Russian president is merely bluffing. Fingers crossed, eh?
And to prove I'm not bluffing, watch this.
Maybe it just collapsed on its own.
We can't take that chance.
You always say that. I want to take a chance.
There is no justification for such complacency. The Biden administration and its European allies are engaged in a staggeringly reckless game of nuclear Russian roulette. Yes, I can't imagine a rational, circumspect and reasonable game of nuclear Russian roulette. Apparently forgetting their own earlier statements made at the start of the war in February 2022, that direct intervention by NATO would mean World War III, the imperialist leaders now assert that Russia will not retaliate even if its territory is directly attacked. On what basis?
And I base that on absolutely nothing.
Moreover, even if there exists the possibility of a massive counterattack, they insist that NATO must not be deterred by that danger. Well, I would say do be deterred by that danger. And I'd like to see the evidence that, oh, look, we know for a fact that they're just not going to see. Because the evidence seems to suggest, and Exhibit A, Vladimir Putin saying, if you attack us, if this continues, if you get involved, we are willing to use long-range weapons that will be, like, in your yard. We're bringing this to your hood. What have you got that counters that? I've got a little thing called a hunch. A little thing called a hunch that's been rather forgotten in international diplomacy when dealing with a nuclear power. You may have Vladimir Putin himself saying, I will engage in a nuclear war, but what about the old hunch, eh? Are you dismissing the hunch? Yeah, I'm dismissing the hunch.
Hunch. There's your murderer.
How do you know?
Something about his hair. I don't know.
How did we miss that? Get him!
An argument that is being made by the media and by think tanks is that it's been a mistake for NATO to indicate any concern about the Ukraine war escalating toward a nuclear exchange with Russia. They're kind of a bit like acting like you don't fancy someone in order to attract them, or pretending to be tougher than you are in a schoolyard scrap. Isn't the degree of sophistication I expect from these organisations like NATO and the CIA and the government of the United States of America and the government of the UK, who when they're sort of deciding what information we get access to is, we're actually extremely intelligent people. We cannot allow you to decide for yourself whether or not this medication is good for you or whether or not this war is good for you, because we're pretty clued on. Oh no, you got cooties! Ah! They're operating like children. Bowing to Putin's nuclear blackmail will make nuclear war more likely. What? Ah, you see, that's exactly what he wants, is for you to bow to his nuclear blackmail. That's what I reckon anyway, based on the old hunch. I don't want to base my children's future and the future of the planet and all of potential future humanity on your hunch. That's where you're wrong. It's the hunch, you see. That's the hunch that's got Putin on the back foot. Bowing to Putin's nuclear blackmail will make nuclear war more likely. Peter Dickinson of the Atlantic Council, a US-based think tank, wrote, the Atlantic Council is funded by the weapons industry. They're not all in and thinking, what should we think now? You'll think what we fucking well pay you to think. That's what they think in there. Look at its funding. Ukraine has repeatedly called Putin's bluff, exposing the emptiness of the Russian dictator's nuclear bluster. Well, that's just because he's not done a nuclear war yet. He won't ever do one. He's not been in this position before. This is an escalating conflict. What do you think? There's nothing. I think there's nothing that would make Vladimir Putin go, do you know what? I've had enough of this now. Well, I hope you're right. Ukraine has repeatedly called Putin's bluff, exposing the emptiness of the Russian dictator's nuclear bluster, he declared, adding, while Ukraine has refused to be intimidated by Putin's nuclear blackmail, the same cannot be said for the West. Western fear of escalation is the single biggest obstacle. There are different types of fear, I was taught. There is neurotic fear that can never be satiated, and wisdom fear, which is a gift that helps us to discern the boundaries of the physical world, like we live in a physical world where there are physical threats. It's somewhat neurotic to be terrified of sharks if you live, you know, in a busy metropolis. But if you swim about in the sea with chum and meat dangling from your bikini, fear of sharks is considered wisdom fear. Although hanging chum off a bikini in anybody's language, I think, is odd. But in diplomacy terms, sort of what we're actually doing. Fingers are crossed, though. My fingers were crossed. Yeah, that doesn't stop nuclear attack. Oh no! In Germany, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung wrote that Russia's threat to use nuclear weapons will not be realized, it continued. Not even if, as happens regularly, American and British missiles and cruise missiles are used to attack military targets in the Ukrainian territories annexed by Russia, including Crimea. Oh well, let's just hope you're right about that, because Vladimir Putin's saying the opposite. The Lowy Institute, a pro-NATO think tank in Australia, already they're a pro-NATO think tank. NATO probably give them money, or similar agencies or subdivisions or affiliated organisations give money. So, like, you don't even need to know, but, you know, just let's indulge them. Let's see what this pro-NATO think tank think tank. We think tanks in our think tank. We think missiles in our think tank. They all just think things that are beneficial to the weapons industry. I wonder who funds them. The Lowy Institute, a pro-NATO think tank, tank in Australia declared, "The key question is whether the West will call Putin's bluff or yield to his high-stakes nuclear posturing, a decision that will shape the outcome of the conflict." How about this shape? That's the shape of us all dying in a nuclear war, for those of you just listening to the audio. By publicly claiming that Putin is only bluffing, NATO is all but inciting him to react aggressively and expose his miscalculation. There's a football hooligan song that was popular in the 80s, not so much now. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. I mean, if that's Leeds fans to West Ham or Chelsea fans, it's considered to be working class culture out of control and in need of radical regulation. But when it's entire governments and the NATO organisation saying it to Vladimir Putin, it's called geopolitical strategy.
Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough!
Even as they loudly assert that Russia will not respond, US and European strategists have gamed out the possibility of an escalation to nuclear war. That's not game. Nuclear war's not a game. The New York Times began publishing a series of extraordinary opinion pieces Sunday under the overall headline, At the Brink, focused on the threat of nuclear weapons in an unstable world. Hello, welcome to At the Brink. This week on At the Brink, we're all going to be living in a nuclear apocalypse. Hooray! How like the New York Times, who plainly operate on behest of the deep state, given the access they were given to those CIA bases, given the way they were willing to put that story out there in order to generate compliance from the Republican Party in order to receive further funding for the perpetuation of this ongoing war. To consider, like, At the Brink as a sort of think piece, let's get Malcolm Gladwell in to write About the Brink. Well, the thing is, the Brink's not where you think it is. You can get a lot closer to that Brink than you think. We got a think tank about Brinks, and I think that the Brink don't stink. It's not Dr. Seuss, it's Vladimir Putin. One thing to say for the New York Times is they are catering for both audiences. On one hand, we should definitely call Vladimir Putin's bluff. But what if, oh no, that's a good point, how to survive a nuclear winter? Nuclear sweaters? Nuclear bobble hats? Also, like, Trump is, like, continually, like, my God, if Trump gets in, he'll make himself president for life. Meanwhile, fuck you, Putin. Yeah, come on, come on, Putin.
Come on, have a go if you think you're not enough!
The project's lead writer, W.J. Hennigan, initiated the series with a column, The Brink, which begins by stating, if it seems alarmist to anticipate the horrifying aftermath of a nuclear attack, consider this. United States and Ukraine governments have been planning for this scenario for at least 2 years. That doesn't make it better. That makes it worse. Don't worry about the nuclear aftermath. We've been planning for it. And tell us the plan. All rich people have already got bunkers. Zuckerberg's got a great one. Jeff Bezos' is fantastic. Good luck in the nuclear dust, motherfuckers! Wait, what? That's the plan? Yeah, don't vote Trump. He's crazy. See ya! In the fall of 2022, Hennigan writes, a US intelligence assessment put the odds at 50-50 that Russia... 50-50? Like, when that comes up in a game show for, like, to get a caravan or an RV, I'm like, ooh, careful. You might... lose out on the $500 you've already got. It's a nuclear war. Ah, come on, go for it, you goddamn pussy. 50-50. 50-50. They might or they might not. That Russia would launch a nuclear strike to halt Ukrainian forces if they breached its defense of Crimea. We can't bring you this content without the support of our partners. And in this instance, it's a very appropriate partner because you're an awakened wonder. And you know that there's every possibility that your communications are being spied on. People are listening in on your private conversations. I say people, I mean government agencies and government-funded private agencies that are used as proxies to crush dissent. You've been watching this show for a while. You know that these Orwellian authorities, although Orwell himself was pretty interested in freedom, are spying on us, and they'll do whatever it takes to control the narrative by controlling our connection. That's why we've partnered with Freedom Chat, a private messaging app that allows us to text who we want without fear of the tyrannical authorities listening into our conversations. This is the app that we trust to keep our data and our conversations private. Freedom Chat has true end-to-end encryption. No storage of messages on their servers and no commercial use of user data, meaning they won't sell your data for political gain or monetary benefit. With Freedom Chat, you can disable screenshots, deactivate your phone's camera and microphone via the sensors off feature, and you can even prevent other individuals in a chat from saving your images or videos to their device without your explicit permission. Excellent. You know it, and I know it. The establishment is watching us right now and our conversations. Stay free and protect your privacy with Freedom Chat. Go download the app right now by simply scanning the QR code, this QR code that you're looking at, or visit freedomchat.com/brand. Download it. It's brilliant. Let's get back to it. Hennigan adds that earlier, the Biden administration had directed a small group of experts and strategists, a Tiger team. That's going to be helpful. A Tiger team. As a nuclear missile explodes, they're great. Go where everybody knows
your name. They're great.
To devise a new nuclear playbook of contingency plans and responses. Now, in the event that there is a nuclear war, I propose... Sorry, what were you... not understood the dynamic. The NATO powers have repeatedly stated that they will not be deterred from pursuing the war by the threat of a nuclear exchange. We'd be playing right into their hands. The deliberate use of tactical and strategic nuclear weapons. Fucking hell. I mean, it's just like, that is not tactical, is it? That's not a tactic. Nuclear weapons, which was rejected for decades as synonymous with madness, is now being normalized as a legitimate component of imperialist geopolitical strategy. You know that feeling that you have that the elites live in a different world from you? It might be that they were able to have parties during the pandemic or just the obvious wealth inequality and the bunkers or whatever. Now that's reached the point where a nuclear war evidently affects them differently than it affects everyone else. And some of those loopy theories about population control or people saying they want a hot war with Russia don't seem so conspiratorial when there's been 2 years of planning and brinkmanship is considered a strategy, does it? The war is being driven to a much larger and bloodier scale. All of this is being done behind the backs of the population, always a good sign, relying on a lack of information and disinformation. On Monday, the German state blatantly lied, stating that an emergency summons of the German ambassador to the Russian Foreign Ministry had nothing to do with the leaked discussion about German missiles targeting Crimea. That meeting with the Russian ambassador was to organize a party for your birthday, and you ruined it! You're just like your Führer! Cheers. The ruling class is lying to the public because it wants to be free to carry out its military conspiracies unimpeded. Yes, there is already broad opposition to the escalation of the war. After Macron raised the possibility of sending European troops to fight Russia in Ukraine, polls found that 68% of the French people and 80% of the German people oppose it. Yeah, because people don't want to die. That's the main aim in the game of life. To the extent that masses of people in the US and all of the NATO countries are aware of what is happening, this opposition will grow. That's why the control of information becomes so significant, because when the strategy is Vladimir Putin might not launch nuclear weapons, you have to keep control on the information. That's why everyone went hysterical about Tucker talking to Vladimir Putin. How dare you? How dare you? That is disloyal. It's borderline treason. No, what's treason is having hunches up against explicit threats of nuclear war and claiming that that's a strategy simply because in reality there's an elite set of institutions that are somehow immune from nuclear war in ways that I can't really begin to understand, because I thought that was one area where we were kind of actually were all in it together. Evidently not.
You know what I'm in the mood for?
Could it be turkey?
But how did you...
So, it seems to me that we should demand freedom of information. We should demand the ability to determine for ourselves the activities of our nations on the international stage. And we should demand a diplomatic solution between Ukraine and Russia, simply to be sure that it's not an exercise like Afghanistan was and Iraq was, to perpetuate war in order to generate profits and dominion, or to drain an international energy of their resources in order to create a unipolar globalist state. Because I don't know that we're going to benefit from the same things that they benefit from when we suffer as a result of their decisions. Things to them that are beneficial are not beneficial to us. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the chat. See you in a second.
No, here's the fucking news.
I pray in the name of the Heavenly Father that we all find the peace that our Lord and Saviour Christ would have for us. Especially some of you lot in there, you're going crazy in that chat. You all okay? You're doing all right. I'm just seeing some interesting movements there in the Rumble chat. But here are some interesting contributions from all of you. Cruising Buns, what a way to decide the fate of the world on a coin flip. What do you think of those little Simpsons moments? They're pretty funny, aren't they? Like Hunch, that's my favourite bit. For real, I would guess this is why Zuckerberg is building a $260 million underground bunker in Hawaii. Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. Yeah, boy, Def. I thought Ukraine was winning the war. Extraordinary, really, isn't it? It's astonishing to see. So, Sun Patriot, Kazo, all of you beautiful awakened wonders in the locals, where shall we go now? It's been an extraordinary time. We asked you a little earlier, which nation has arrested more people? Is it
Let's have a look. Put it up. Oh, you want me to do it? I can do it. Russia, United Kingdom, or Mauritius. Of course, our country, the UK, has arrested more people than Russia for social media posts, not just in general. So if you got that question right, like A Miller 1214, you can have a mug. You can have a mug. They think we're mugs. You can have one. So, Russell, did you buy your jumper from Primark? As a matter of fact, I did not. It's a rather fancy jumper. Send us your email, list your address, and we'll send it to you, my darling. Anyone in the Awaken Wonder chat, if you want one of these, answer that question, and we'll send you one as well. So, AstraZeneca are going through some interesting stuff at the moment, aren't they? It seems like they've just done a massive deal with the British government. Let's have a look. To be manufacturing
as well as developing them. So I can today also announce a brand new investment by one of our greatest life science companies, AstraZeneca, led by mon ami, the irrepressible Sir Pascal Soirier. AstraZeneca made their COVID vaccine available to developing countries at cost, as a result, saving over 6 million lives. And today, because of the government's support for the life sciences sector, they announced plans to invest £650 million in the UK to expand their footprint on the Cambridge Biomedical Campus and fund the building of a vaccine manufacturing hub in Speke in Liverpool. More investment, better jobs in every corner of the country in a long-term budget for growth from a Conservative government.
Yeah. Let's have a look at some facts about AstraZeneca, who have just been granted an extraordinary deal. Sorry that the audio was so low on that. Here they are. Here's those AstraZeneca facts. AstraZeneca pledges £650 million in UK investments to boost vaccine capabilities and expand near headquarters. £650 million. About £450 million will go to AstraZeneca's manufacturing site in Speke, Liverpool, to build out the company's research and development manufacturing capabilities. Their spending is contingent upon a mutual agreement with the UK government and undisclosed third parties. Who are these third parties? Hey, Brandstatter, remember our policy on repetition, on which basis that would have been censored. What I just said, have a little glance in there. Anything that's repetitive, have a little just check that out. We do allow free speech, we don't allow spamming. So just have a look. Can I get a affirmative on that, gal? No, that's been affirmed. Thanks. As reported by the Financial Times in January, some inside government think AstraZeneca could ask for as much as $100 million in support. They want some government cash, said one official. It would be looked upon favourably. The government said about £1 billion of overall public support for the life sciences sector was available. So what we're talking about there, I would say, are tax breaks for pharmaceutical companies, even though AstraZeneca are currently engaged in some legal disputes about potentially even fatal side effects for their product. But while those kind of stories seem to be lost between the cracks, people's attention is captured by this moment. Elon and Trump have met. What are they discussing? What are the complexities of this story, given that, you know, Trump has been notoriously anti, for example, what are they called? The electric vehicles. Excuse me. Anti! It's good to be alive, isn't it? Isn't it glorious to feel the spontaneous forces rushing through your body? And, of course, Elon Musk has become an extraordinarily controversial and complex figure, mostly for his advocacy of free speech, but because of some of his positions on what have become known as, bless you, thank you so much, thank you all of you, what have been known as, I suppose, woke issues. Let's have a little look at this story.
Check out this headline from the New York Times. Quote, Trump seeking cash infusion meets with Elon Musk. Here's why I bring it up. Lauder, Trump has been trashing electric vehicles. Hmm? That's just his belief. It's his belief. So be it. And then he meets with the second wealthiest man in the world, who is the best EV maker. What's the thinking there? What's going on? Is he changing his tune?
I don't think he's changing his tune on electric vehicles, but he also owns X, or formerly Twitter.
Elon Musk is building Trump a domicile on the planet he's calling Mar-a-Lago. It's a good pun. That is a good pun. That wins a mug. There's a mug for that comment. Dan, find that comment. Whoever said that, Mar-a-Lago, that's pun of the day. Fantastic. We reward you. Send us your email, you. Dan, tell us who that was by the end of it. It's about, I reckon by now, 30 comments back on this symposium of truth and knowledge over here on Rumble. And a comment on the day on locals, we'll find another thing. Russell, if those things... Who the fuck are these people? Where do they fucking come from? Love in action. We're not giving away mugs for that kind of profanity.
SpaceX, which has a lot of important NASA contracts, and he's the second richest guy in the world who could cut a Zuckerberg-sized check, not to a candidate, but to a PAC or to some other organization that could fulfill the America First mission.
Mick, you've been in these meetings before with Trump. And
I like Mick. I've seen Mick before.
And Musk. What do you make of it? Because he's been going after EVs nonstop. And when I saw that headline, I thought, wait a minute, is he now actually trying to make things all good with someone else?
Listen, I don't know what they talk about today. I can assure you of this. There was no written agenda for this meeting. Period. End of story. Talk about two people who could talk about literally anything. I think I've sat in on two or three of these things, and it's just like watching the circus. It was fascinating. Of course, Elon Musk, one of the very brightest people you're ever going to meet, but the dude is strange. There's no question about it. He did put out something on X this afternoon saying he was not going to give any money to a political candidate. Mark points out, this is not about money to candidates. This is about money to PACs. So that door seems like it might be.
Clavicus. For that Mar-a-Lago comment, there's a mug coming. Clavicus, send us your email us with some deets so we can get in touch and sort that out. Elon Musk and Trump, for good or for ill, are perhaps the two defining figures in our cultural life these days. Whether or not you agree with their politics, and it would be impossible to agree with both of them because there are certainly areas of opposition, aren't there? They both appear in various ways to have irked the establishment. I sometimes see people say, oh, Donald Trump, he's part of the establishment. He's part of the billionaire class. I sometimes hear people say Elon Musk is deep state. But based on the actions of their persecutors, you would have to say that both of them are anti-establishment figures. And the idea of them having any kind of alliance, pretty astonishing, isn't it? It could be important for the election, could be important for the world. What do you guys think? Do you think that Musk and Trump is an alliance that you want to see take place? And what do you think about the complexity and the areas of disagreement? What do you tell me what you lot think about that? Just to be super clear, I'm not donating money to either candidate for US president. Surely then there can be only one subject to their conversation. Elon Musk as vice president. But you can't have that, can you? You can't have is Elon Musk, is he a US citizen yet? Or is he there you go. Energy Secretary Musk. Elon. Yes. His two crows attempted murder. That's good as well. I mean, that person should get a mug. Woodski should get a mug. That's pretty extraordinary. Put the link to all of the merch in the chat. Okay. Now, listen, we've not even got time to cover the story of New York City subway having armed guards there now. And it's a shame because, isn't it? It's a shame that we can't cover that. Because New York City now are literally, we've been talking about the militarization of the police force for a little while, haven't we? You know that some of the money that was put aside for COVID and those various COVID grants were ultimately ended up paying for drones and militarization of the police force. And I know many people that work in the police force that are good people. But when it comes to acting as agents for state power, you've got to be pretty suspicious, haven't you? And having fully armed guards on New York subways, when Tucker showed us how delightful Russian subways are, is surely cause for concern. Okay, guys, well, that's it for today. 61 minutes, that's it. We've been here 62 minutes. I mean, unless would you want more entertainment from us? Do you want to see Van Jones near hysterical? Let's go out on Dear Van Jones. We'll just show you this. Okay, let's have a look at Van Jones. This is vote for Biden or it's tanks on the streets of Europe.
And Van, what does President Biden need to do at this point to earn those Nikki Haley supporters, bring them into the fold? We saw the Biden campaign putting out a statement from President Biden almost immediately after Nikki Haley walked off that stage in South Carolina. What do you think?
I think he needs to talk to her donors and her supporters and say, if you want to, a year from now, watch Russian tanks rolling through Europe, then, you know, endorse Donald Trump and get on that bandwagon. But understand, you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to see horror across Europe, and you're going to have American soldiers, sailors having to go over there and do something that we could have done with dollars. We're going to have to do with blood.
Bloody hell. Do you want to calm down, mate? Vote Biden or it's blood on the street. I live in Europe. I live there. Oh, no. Why have we got to pay the price? It doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Is this escalating hysteria what they have now in place of true policy and true appeal? Have they nothing more than this posturing to offer? Let me know what you guys feel. Hey, we got a show for you tomorrow. Mike Benz, a man who will help you to understand the true nature of the deep state, the true nature of the censorship industrial complex. You may remember what he posted at the height of the matters that surrounded me a few months back. This dude knows the score. You may have seen him when he was on Tucker. You're going to see him like you've never seen him before on the show tomorrow. It's extraordinary. Just going to tell you before we go, just in reaction to Van's point, there that if you don't vote for Biden, you're going to see escalating war. Let's just have a look at what's happened over the previous administration. This is a good asset. Right. Under Bush, Russia invaded Georgia. Oh, so they are pretty expansionist. Under Obama, Russia invaded Crimea. Oh, Trump, Russia didn't invade anyone. Ding! Biden, Russia invaded Ukraine. So even if your primary concern is that madman Putin, and even if your main concern is Russian expansionism, is it necessarily true that the solution to that is dear old, lovely old, soppy old Burisma spokesperson, President of the United States, Joe Biden? I don't know. That's something you'll have to decide for your beautiful selves, you glorious awakened wonders. Remember, if you want additional content, if you want to support our movement, press the red button and join our awakened wonder community. Like, for real. And naughty, naughty me, who indeed earns that title well. You also get, if you're a member of that community, you get to join us for our interviews when they take place. We do incredible readings daily. We talk about the solutions. Oh, and that's one of the things I want to cover, by the way. You know, people are sending us now real estate for various places that when we start to establish communities all over the world, when we start to detach from their system, when we begin to establish our own communities, our own currencies, our own trades, when we refuse to cooperate for another day, these people, these pioneers like Synchronicity 525 and Spiritual Dirtbag, they send us properties. So welcome, Doll Brown. For now, it's a cyber world, but pretty soon it will be IRL. Welcome, Snowfall, Fireman Lon 1, Adra 1364, and simply Peter Rowan. Welcome, welcome, and send us properties for us to acquire. You know, Bill Gates might be buying up farmland, but it's us that will be claiming the territories of tomorrow for our glorious revolution. Join us tomorrow for Mike Benz. Not for more of the same, but for significant education. Until then, stay free. Many switch in, switch on, switch off. Many switch in, switch on, switch off, switch off.